Aloha. Are we on this? Are we live? Are we live from the fair?
Not yet.
This is the out of the box special.
Right?
There's Pat Geegan. We'll see if we can get Pat Geegan to come talk story about the fair. And you're going to join us, yeah, or you can share with me as well.
And this is Felicia, and I'm excited about all the many people that are here. And
nice.
We've got Jerry Ornelas, who is like hero of the Farm Bureau, and he's going to be telling us some things.
Jimmy.
And Jerry, I'm going to ask you, how long have you been involved with the not let? Yeah, there we go. Oh. I'm hearing Felicia as we speak, so I guess we got our delay happening. Right on.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic...
There we go. So this out of the... There we go. This KKCR show is made possible by listeners like you, made with the underwriters, Kalaheo Chiropractic. I can't read it from here. Here we go.
I can.
Here we go.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Culture Construction and Ching Yung Village. Play it, Dove.
Yeah. Kalaheo Wellness Center, nice. Natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Lewis and Eddie Soltran Construction, 639-4836, building quality on Kauai for over 25 years. New custom homes, remodeling, and repairs. Exclusive dealer for Talia's Hurricane Roll-Down Shutters Protection for your home. Lewis and Eddie Soltran Construction, 639-4836, or SoltranConstruction.com.
Ching Yung Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Ching Yung, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Right on, mahalos for
Go
supporting
Farm Hawaii
Kauai
at
Community
Kauai
Radio.
Community College is a training program assisting those interested in agriculture and becoming viable
there
production growers.
Go Farm, and we are at the Farm Fair with the outgoing president of the Kauai County Farm Bureau, Jerry Ornelas. Did I get that right? Are you?
I'm the outgoing vice president.
Outgoing vice president. Right. And for listeners who might not be familiar with the Farm Bureau, Jerry, what does the Farm Bureau do, and how long have you been doing what you do for the Farm Bureau?
Well, first of all, the Farm Bureau is a member-based advocacy. We advocate on the behalf of farmers. We do political action. We do economic stuff for farmers. You know, we want to put farming back on the map. Basically, that's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm. And keep ag here on Kauai.
Absolutely. It's all about keeping our ag land in agricultural production.
Thank you so much for all that you do.
Yeah, I think earlier on, Felicia had described you as a hero. Jerry, what are some of the things that you've been involved with Farm Bureau how long has it been that you've been a member of?
Well, you know, I've been with the Farm Bureau about 10 years now in a very active role. I've been a long-time member, but about 10 years in a leadership role. I do want to emphasize that there's literally hundreds of people involved, especially in something like putting on this fair in the spirit of cooperation and, you know, giving back to the community. We literally have hundreds of people, including... people from KKCR here today.
It takes a village, right? I mean, I know there's students from probably all three high schools. They're either the Interact class or the ROTC, junior ROTC, helping out. You have other volunteer community groups helping the fair come along. This event, one time a year, you mentioned it takes hundreds of people to make happen. What are some of the highlights? And I want you to go back to dedicated individuals working within. Tonight we're going to be celebrating the contributions of former president of the Farm Bureau, Roy Oyama. Did I get that right?
That's correct. Yasai, which is a Japanese term for vegetable boy, is what they used to call Roy when he would hawk vegetables when he was in high school. And even younger than that, in Kalaheo and Lawai. Here's a guy that, you know, at a very young age got deeply into farming, mm-hmm. and was very successful at it. You know, bought his dad a pickup truck back when he was a young man, just hawking vegetables.
There we go. Go ahead, Felicia.
Well, very good. And how long have you guys been having the Kauai Farm Fair?
Well, the Farm Bureau here in Kauai started in 1968, but the Farm Fair actually goes back beyond that. In the early days, you would have, we're talking about 1920s, you would have the wives of the plantation managers actually put on these kinds of events and have, vegetable contest and who can grow the biggest, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. It goes way back. This is a long history.
I know that what has had a long history, too, and we're trying to really revitalize and strengthen it, is neighborhood agriculture. At one point, just about every house had their own micro farm right in the yard. And that's an important thing, and it's really exciting to get that kind of re-energized. I know for myself, I'm very happy with how much can grow so easily.
You know, when I think about it, I'm really amazed at how much of our whole existence when I was young was directed towards getting food, basically. Either you came from a fishing family, you came from a farming family, a ranching family, or in my case, a dairy family. Mm-hmm. And so much of our very existence revolved around
the production of food.
The sustenance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Worldwide. Until World War II, basically, most people were farmers. The majority of people were food producers.
Well, now, you know, we're less than 2% of the population feeding the other 90% of the population, whereas that really, was flip-flopped, at one time.
Right.
And I know you're speaking about different activities to encourage farming. Eric Hansen, who's a KKCR volunteer, is also a KCC instructor and has his Grow Farm program. Go Farm program coming up. I know that you've spoke as part of that group. Well, what are some of the things that the Farm Bureau is doing to encourage young farmers, the next generation? Who are some of your partners, and what are some of the activities? If somebody's thinking about getting involved in ag, how do they do that?
That's a great question, Jamie, because I have a graphic illustration. On my farm, we had two interns this year come and work for us. Mm-hmm. Two girls from FFA, Kauai High School.
Future Farmers of America.
Future Farmers of America, two very motivated, good workers, came out to the farm. They were working on a grant, a little van brought them to work in the morning. Mm. Yeah, they got paid out of the grant, right? Transportation was provided. They worked for me. They worked for, we wanted to spread the, we want them to get a wide range of farming experiences. So they work for me for 3 weeks. They work for Marquita out at Kauai Farm Fresh for a couple of weeks.
And
they work
at
Moloa Bay Coffee for a couple of weeks and earn some good money. And, we are looking to repeat the program again next year, hopefully with a lot more participants.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that an FFA program or was it FFA sponsored?
We drew from the FFA class at Kauai High School, but it was grant money, some of his workforce development money.
Mm-hmm. And I know that the exposure party is this Tuesday at 6:00, I believe, at KCC for mm-hmm. people who want to come and really see what's going on with the Grow Farm.
Go Farm.
You said that first. Go Farm program this year, and Eric Hansen is the one doing it, and I will even give out his personal cell number.
Yeah,
right,
and we'll have flyers for that program here at the KKCR booth. We're broadcasting live from the fair, first time for our community radio to do this, and we're speaking with Jerry Ornelas, longtime Farm Bureau member, as well as a farmer here on Kauai, Kama'aina, for generations. Jerry, you said you came from a dairy family. How did you get into it?
I was seduced, man. I mean, farming is very seductive. Once you start doing it, it's hard work, no question about it. You know, you all have experience at it. Everybody right here in this booth, anyway. And there's no better lifestyle. That's mm-hmm. all I can say.
I know for me, and I don't work as hard as you do, but in my production, the level that I do, it's like going to church when you're digging in the soil and you're you're seeing all the magnificence of how nature works. It really is completely uplifting for me. Eric's phone number is 808-896-2793. And you could, you know, also Google Go Farm Hawaii and come by our booth and get some information. Jerry, when I first walked up to you, you were talking about something that is so important to all farmers, and that's water. At our Kauai Farmers Union United, which is a smaller program than the Hawaii Farm Bureau, last night it was really looking at the stuff of the geologic structure, understanding what's going on with the water, why the water is flowing lighter, trying to understand what's going on in somewhat of drought conditions. And it's stressful for farming because you need to get the water. And everybody's doing their best to work with what they have. And so you had some mana'o on that. Do you want to share?
Yeah, Mark Twain said, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. Unfortunately, sometimes it comes down to that. You know, we have some issues. You know, we run the East Kauai Water Users Cooperative, of which I'm president. We've been in business for 15 years now, operating a state system. And, you know, you may be aware of some controversy regarding Secret Falls. And if you'd like, I can hold forth on that.
Well, you know, you had showed me that there was some issues coming on Facebook and some films. And so you were describing what was filmed there is a very small water piece that's coming off. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, if you've seen the little clip on somebody who hiked up above Secret Falls and up into the ranch area. And, you know, we have stockmen who draw water from basically it's spring fed. And, I mean, you know, here's a guy that uses an inch and a half pump to fill a 300-gallon tank. That's not going to seriously impact any water source.
Right. And so what is wonderful in all this is people are beginning to think about things that otherwise have been taken for granted. And that's one of the things, the strength of KKCR is how we bring awareness and start looking at, okay, what's coming up. And so when people say, hey, I'm concerned about this, that's a great thing with social media. Then other people can say, oh, I see they're concerned, and I'm going to come and help explain it.
And this is all taken in within the framework of regulatory agencies. We have the Commission on Water Resource Management. This is not the first time that Secret Falls has gone dry. In 2010, we had a very serious drought. We are in a moderate drought right now up in that area. And, you know, those streams are intermittent when drought conditions prevail.
Right. So water's going on. You know, water issues are happening all over the island, and rain seems to be falling a little bit lighter this year all over the place. And I know there's a lot of discussion on how much is climate change man-made, how much is it, you know, something else, sunspots. There's all kinds of discussion on it, but in the meantime, we got to figure out how to be more efficient. I was happy that at Kauai County Council yesterday, the Department of Water was there giving a report, and certainly the county is thinking about these challenges, and what I heard from citizens is, hey, we need to blur the lines between what's state and what's county responsibility, because some is surface water, some is groundwater, but we need to look at it together and, you know, see if there's different ways we can use surface water to water plants rather than groundwater.
Yeah, bottom line, Felicia, is that, you know, basically it's everybody's responsibility. You know, we all use water, farmers as well as domestic users, and, you know, we're all responsible for, you know, for being responsible for that resource.
And, you know, somebody sent me pictures. You know, here at KKCR and certainly on Out of the Box and Kauai Soapbox, we get lots of things that people have concern about. And there were pipes, this was over kind of near Kekaha Waimea, to a new cattle ranch up high. Do you know anything about that?
No, I'm afraid I'm not real familiar with that neck of the woods, man.
Okay.
I'm an east side guy.
All right, all right.
Well, Jerry, we know you've got, this is probably one of the busiest afternoons. Mm-hmm. I know for the last, 72 hours, it's been nonstop.
7 days.
7 days. Like you said, it's a big production getting this up. Before you go, what are some highlights if folks are out there listening and they're wondering, should I go to the fair or not? What would get
you? I like the fruit and vegetable show because, you know, it's the dueling vegetables, man. We've got the Wootens. Yeah, who are the perennial champions, but we've also got some, you know.
What about Uncle George? Is Uncle George?
Uncle George Mukai, you know, he has a beef with them because he's saying, wait a minute, that's a whole family and it's just me, man. You know, so, oh, George, that's just the way it works, man.
Yeah.
And there's usually bonsai trees.
They're beautiful. They don't even look, I mean, they're so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. They don't even look, I mean, it's amazing.
And then the orchid show, is that on
Saturday? The orchid show, Antirium, people are here. Lectures, fun for the kids.
There's livestock, there's an auction.
Livestock, there's auctions.
When is the livestock auction?
I'm not really sure. I don't have the program. I'm not a construction guy, but, you know, this is the gathering for Kauai, and that's why you guys are here, right? I mean, this really is when we all come together.
Willie Kay, Anuhea,
I mean, we got
for you country folks. It's not our first rodeo. They're going to be playing as well.
We even have karaoke for crying out loud.
You name it, we got it. So, man. Something for everyone.
We got taiko drummers, you know,
and
we've got Scott Enright's coming down for the opening. The chairperson of the Department of Agriculture will be here representing the governor. So I'm looking forward to talking with him. And if you guys are around, man, I'll bring him over.
Bring him over. Sure. And then this show Out of the Box is on till 6. So and wish him over here.
Yeah, he should be here early, and the opening ceremony starts about that time. So I'll try and get him here early, and we can put in a good word.
Terrific.
For Ag, man.
Appreciate it. Jerry, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk story with you and for all the hard work that you do and encouraging, inspiring others to do so.
Aloha, you guys.
Mahalo.
Aloha. Thank you.
Jerry Arnelis from the Kauai County Farm Bureau here joining us on Out of the Box. We're going to have Lee Wilkie join us here next. And Lee Wilkie is a local beekeeper here on Kauai. We're going to talk a little bit about the honey tasting. Felicia, thanks so much for being here with us.
Yes, and I'm going to go round up some more interesting individuals to come talk story with us.
Thank you so much. And if you're out there in Fairland and you want to come to the fair, tonight's a good night, opening night. The crowds are a little bit less hectic. Lots of activities going on. Dove is making things comfortable for us. Lee, I asked you to come join us because, the honey tasting is happening as we speak. Well, preparations are. You want to stand or sit?
There we go.
We'll do that. Thank you, Dove. For folks who are just listening for the first time, KKCR and the Kauai Beekeepers Association will be sharing space here in the booth at the fair, selling honey and promoting community radio. I asked you to join us because, Lee, you're a beekeeper. How are the bees?
Well, the bees are doing really good here in Kauai.
What have you noticed in the? How long have you been beekeeping now?
I've been beekeeping for about 4 years now.
So here's a public disclaimer. Lee was one of my students at the Kauai Community College apiary program, and now has struck out on his own as a professional.
As a full-time now for about the last six months.
Tell us, what does a beekeeper do? As a beekeeper, what are some of the things that you have to do every day to make sure your hives are healthy and you're able to, you know, harvest honey when you need it?
Well, I have to go in and inspect my bees, take a look at them, see how their health is doing, check on the honey, clean the hive, add boxes when they grow, if they need to be split, if they're outgrowing the boxes.
Mm-hmm. What's a split?
A split is when the bees, say if they have queen cells, are ready to swarm on their own. So naturally take queen cells out, move them to another box with some brood. There'll be the babies.
And a queen cell, for those folks, is the formation of a new queen.
Exactly.
Obviously, in one hive, you can have only one queen.
At a time, exactly.
If you have two, you're going to have problems.
Exactly. One will kill the other. But usually in a split, or they're going to swarm, then the first queen, the original queen of the hive, will take most of her bees, about two-thirds, and they'll load up with a whole bunch of honey, and they'll go find a new place. And then the queen being born, she will take on that hive,
And she's the new mama.
She's the new mama of that hive.
There we go. Now, why did you get into beekeeping? What attracted you to it?
Well, I had four beehives in my wife's family property. First of all, I went to see how to take them out of the buildings. And
these were hives that were not purposefully put there for the production of honey.
In the walls, in the trees there, in a dog kennel.
I was going to say, and there was one in the doghouse or something like that?
Yes, the first one I did by myself was one in the dog kennel.
Uh-huh. And so, and you learned how to remove hives from the classes you
from
took?
From the classes I took,
KCC.
Exactly. The wonderful classes with Jimmy here. And taught me a lot.
How often do you... how often do folks call you to do that kind of work?
I probably get called on average probably two times a month or three times, and I take them out. It could take anywhere from a quick hive, maybe just 45 minutes, but the average is about 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it can actually, as long as one's taking, is 2 days. The hive was so huge that it was, probably 100,000 bees in the hive.
That's a big hive. And I just want to mahalo you, Lee, for helping take on that burden, the kuleana of tending bees. And I remember our first Farm Bureau fair, you showed up to volunteer to sit at the Kauai Beekeepers Association booth. And you had a farm. You had a little card, business card, that said beekeeper of the Kauai Beekeepers Association, and you said you did honeybee rescues.
Honeybee rescues, yeah.
And I just love that. In fact, we created the Kauai Honeybee Rescue page off the KB website primarily because of your, ethic of wanting to recover and rescue these unwanted bees and make them more productive and more... appreciated in a box and not in somebody's deck or in their roof or whatnot.
Well, we need to save our bees for the future, for our children, because they do about 60% of the pollination of all the plants. Without them pollinating the plants, we're not going to be around very long.
Right. And last time that I had a chance to talk on Out of the Box, I was a caller. I was listening and called in with Jonathan Jay. I think Jonathan Jay's out on special assignment right now. But he took my call, and we talked a little bit about today and the honey tasting. I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to bring us back to part of the conversation I had with Jonathan Jay was about the State Department of Agriculture, the plan to bring in...
Varroa mite resistant queens.
Yes, to bring in not necessarily the queens coming
but
in, but bringing the semen.
Semen, exactly.
So that we could breed our local queens and we can introduce this genetic strain or genetic quality, that trait.
Right. Bees here are closed. The island is closed to bringing in bees into the island.
Right. So we couldn't. And hopefully Lauren Russer, she's the state apiary technician. She is working with Danielle Downey from the Department of Agriculture, Danielle being the state apiarist, and Lauren here on island collecting samples. There's a pesticide survey that's being done through some grant money that the county has made available. So mahalo to former chair Jay Ferfaro and Mayor Bernard Carvalho to make that money available. And the pesticide survey is going to look at a spectrum of different influences, contaminants, possible contaminants. Are you participating in that survey?
I think I am. One of them I am in, I'm participating in. I'm not sure which one she had picked up stuff for.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you also were participating in the, there was another survey that's being done by Surfrider. This is a joint or a collaborative project, and they're looking specifically at the levels of glyphosate, if glyphosate is even in our honey. So we're going to have a pretty good understanding, or at least a better understanding of the potential for pesticide contamination.
Exactly.
Here in Kauai. Why is this a concern for beekeepers?
Well, all beekeepers are concerned about the pesticides, the killing, of course, the killing of your bees. And we don't want the a pesticide in our honey. We don't want it in our wax or our honey.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to pass that on to our children or anybody.
Right.
So that's always a concern to a beekeeper.
Right. And the other concern exactly is the proximity of pesticides being sprayed could be lethal to our bees. And so that also creates a concern for us as well. Tonight, the honey tasting, what's that about?
Well, honey tasting is a beekeeper association. Anybody who likes to come who has bees, they got one to give their honey out to taste. It's probably anywhere from a half a dozen to about 18 people will be here with honey, and they'll be able to sample the honey and see the difference in the taste from the surroundings, because the nectar and the pollen gives the taste of the honey and the color.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have colors ranging from white to black, and all the colors in between, and on the honey will taste different.
So you're telling me that honey looks different, there's different shades of color, and there's different shades of taste with that color?
Yes, there is. And the tastes are from the different flowers.
There we go. So that'll be tonight from 6 to 8:30.
Exactly.
Here on the premises at Vidina Stadium. We're thankful for the Office of Economic Development as well as the Kauai County Farm Bureau to host us. And this is our fifth honey tasting here at the fair. Lee, I think you've been with all of those.
Three, I think. Three, because the first year I was just getting started. So it's been three now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so this is, I think, the first year we just did samples. We didn't even sell honey. And then people were asking for honey, so the next year we went on that feedback from our fans and supporters out there that said, we want to buy local honey. If we're going to taste it, you're going to tease us. You know,
yeah.
Come on, let's get some of the good. So if people want to buy honey, you're going to be here all fair long with, I think it's Dave Boucher,
a producer
from the Koloa side. He'll be joining us Friday. You're going to be here Friday evening?
Friday and Sunday, and he'll be here all day Saturday.
Speaking of the devil, here's the cowboy ranching beekeeper himself. Dave, thanks for joining us here on Out of the Box. You're live on Kauai Community Radio.
Wow, Jimmy, thanks for having us.
Sure, and we were just talking about your participation here at the honey tasting. What do you like about the, this is your second, third one?
This is my third one, yeah.
And
I'm
what's the
excited.
Name of your apiary? I was going to say Makaloa's Ranch?
No, Makaua.
Makaua's
Ranch Honey.
There we go. And Lee's, what's the name of your apiary?
Well, this is Lee's Bees Hawaii.
Lee's Bees Hawaii. Gotta love that. Oh, it's right there on the hat. There we go. And we're excited to have a little cooperation between the Kauai Beekeepers Association and the Kauai Community Radio. KKCR has decided to venture out into public broadcasting from the fair, so it's no longer, if you will, Konglandia, but we also have KKCR.
It's pretty exciting, Jimmy. It's like KB going back to its roots.
There we go. We are sharing the love and sharing the buzz. So Dove's here, man in the board. He's going to be holding down the fort tonight with Evolve Radio coming up as the Out of the Box experience winds down. Dave, anything you want to share with listeners about beekeeping, why you do it, and what's exciting about it?
Well, I got into it by accident, Jimmy, and I'm just loving it now. It's so exciting.
What was the accident? You got stung and you liked the way it felt? Or?
No, I had bees on my property that I was clearing, and the guy that was clearing it said, you better get these out of here.
Uh-oh.
So,
did you call Mel Dickens?
I called Mel and Steve, who the radio knows well.
The X-Man was one of the first beekeepers on the scene.
And Mel stuck his hand in the hive, pulled out a handful of bees, smelled them, and said, these are awesome bees. You should keep them. I told him, you're nuts. But I was so intrigued by it, I got totally into it, and now I'm fully involved.
You're fully involved. You took a class at KCC to find out a little bit more.
Yours truly mentored me along the way, plus a bunch of other guys mentored me.
Yeah, you and Lee are two go-getter beekeepers, and mahalo for helping the organization kind of continue to roll forward and help other beekeepers get their fill and also get stung in the process. For folks that that aren't familiar with the sting, it's not so bad, right?
No, it's like an aggressive mosquito bite, Jimmy.
An aggressive mosquito bite. I like that. Hey, any favorite bee songs or honey songs that you guys might want to hear over the next couple hours? By the time that the out of the box,
what do you think?
No, I'll be quiet on that one.
I'll be quiet on that one. Dub, you got any bee tunes on the loading dock? Maybe we'll take a musical break transition. I know Felicia is out there. She's pounding the pavement and beating the bushes for other fairgoers. Right now, we're about an hour away from the opening ceremonies. We have our honey tasting that's being sponsored by the Kauai Beekeepers Association. That'll start after opening ceremonies, which is at 6 o'clock. We're broadcasting live because we can. And from the station that loves you, Kauai Community Radio, we're here at Vadina Stadium here in beautiful Lihue with Dove at the helm. This is Jimmy Trujillo and Dave Boucher, Lee Wilkie, members of the Kauai Beekeepers Association, who will be selling honey this weekend. And if you're here at the fair tonight, come by and sample, taste. We've got, what'd you say, about a half dozen different folks that are going to be sharing their samples. And if you like light honey, you'll find some.
Yes.
If you like dark honey, you'll find some.
That's right.
I know that they've got comb honey for people to sample.
That's right.
Right on.
Right,
Dove, you're going to take us out with a little buzz?
Okay, thank you.
Right on.
Thanks Jimmy. Right on.
Appreciate
cool.
it. Thanks, Lee.
Right on, Jimmy.
Hey,
mahalo.
Thanks, Dave. Nice. Thanks, Doug.
Kauai Community College is a training program assisting those interested in agriculture and becoming viable production growers. An Ag Curious seminar will be held Tuesday, August 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. KCC's OSET building, room 106 CND. Hear from successful farmers about their growing experiences and learn more about the not-for-credit GoFarm training program. More information and RSVP at 245-8318.
And Buffalo Records presents the legendary founder of the Byrds, folk rock pioneer Roger McGuinn. Famous for his many top 10 hits, including Mr. Tambourine Man and Turn, Turn, Turn. Roger McGuinn will be performing at KCC Performing Arts Center on August 15th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at Hanalei Strings and Things, Kauai Music and Sound, Small Town Coffee, Scotty's Music, Progressive Expressions, Kalaheo Music and Strings, and at BuffaloRecords.com. For more information, 808-386-1783.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Out of the Box, live from the Kauai Farm Fair. And we're hearing from all kinds of really interesting people. We have Chantel. Chantel, what's your last name?
Rusa.
Rusa. And we have Megan Sousa. And you guys are both with 4-H.
Yeah. Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui.
So, and then I also have Matt Stevenson here. He's the livestock guy from CTAR. And, well, why don't we let the girls tell us first when the petting zoo's on and what's going on with the 4-H piece, and then we'll learn a little bit about the role of CTAR. But tell us a little bit about 4-H and what people can expect when they come to the farm. Megan?
Well, 4-H is a club. Our club is a Kauai 4-H Livestock Club. And we do community service projects throughout the year. And then at the end of August, we come to the fair. And then we have our projects, like our steers, hogs, lambs, and goats, and we bring them over here. And we give a show on Thursday and Friday nights, and Saturday nights are our auctions.
So you rate your project, when you use the word project, that means raising farm animals.
Yeah.
And do you live on a place where you can raise the farm animal, or if somebody says lives in a condo, can they still be part of 4-H?
Yeah, as long as you have a place where your animal can stay. Plus, if you want to just be part of like a club who does like community service and activities just to be around people, then you can also be a member and not have to necessarily raise something.
Chantel, did you raise something?
Yes, I raised a lamb and a goat.
Oops, let's get her on there better. What did you raise?
I raised a lamb and a goat.
A lamb and a goat. And what did you name them? Did you name them?
Yeah, my goat's name is Montague, like from Romeo and Juliet.
Uh-huh.
And my lamb's name is Alan.
Okay, wonderful. And how about you, Megan? Now, you are an alumni for 4-H, and as opposed to active member, correct? I mean, you're like graduated because you're not really a kid anymore. You're a little bit above being a kid.
Yeah, I was part of the club from when I was 9 years old, and I raised every year since I was 9 years old till 18, so for 9 years.
So you loved it?
Yeah.
And do you have an animal in this event this year?
I have a brother who is a member, an active member right now, and right now he's currently raising all four livestock animals. His steer's name is Timmy, his lamb and goat, his lamb's name is Jerry, and his goat is Tom, so like Tom and Jerry.
Ah.
And then he has a hog named Bindi.
Okay, and can people come and see these animals? Like, they would come to this tent right here, right? And they all got their names on them and information about them, and the rancher, livestock management person who had student who's raised them, correct?
Correct.
So tell people listening what the events are that are coming up. Chantel?
Okay, so for tonight, Thursday night, we have our 6 p.m. beef, steer, and hog show. So basically the members will be showing their steers. They'll be judged on the quality of the meat and how the body looks, and they'll also be judged on how they handle their animal. And tomorrow night, Friday night, we have a 5:45 p.m. clover bud show. These are for the younger kids. There's chickens, rabbits, fish, things like that, smaller projects.
So younger kids raise those animals?
Yes.
Younger kids means grade school age? Older kids means middle school and high school?
From 5 to 9.
From 5 years old till about 8 is the younger.
Okay. And then following that at 6 p.m., we'll have our goat and market lamb show. And same thing as the steer and hog. They'll be judged on the body and how you handle the animal. And then Saturday night, we have our 6:30 p.m. auction. So that's where all the animals will be auctioned off. The member will walk their animal around, and you can come and bid on it if you are willing to support.
Okay. And when people buy it, do they typically bring it home, or the meat gets harvested somehow?
No, what happens is when they auction for it, and then when they win it, they receive it in usually like 3 days. It gets sent to the slaughter, and we have another show, a carcass show, and then they receive the meat.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys are solid and know how to handle that, right? Some people are a little soft for that, so it's a part of reality, right, is that we eat meat, and so we need not to be food hypocrites. We know that's what happens. Okay, so then what's next?
And then that would be all for us. On Thursday, on August 20th, we would have the carcass evaluation, but that wouldn't be at the fair. And if members want to raise, they can raise any of the animals, and if they don't want to sell them, they don't have to sell them. It's just a lot of money.
Right. A lot gets invested in doing it. But,
yes.
You know, motorcycle racing or anything else is expensive, mm-hmm. too. So if people were very sensitive to animals, they could still be part of 4-H, and they
yes.
just don't have to auction their animal out. So it's not like if you get involved in 4-H, you have to let go of your animal. You might decide that you want to keep it for
definitely
for whatever reason. Okay, and then Megan, you have a big sheet in your hand there that talks about when is the petting zoo. Can you tell us what kind of animals are in the petting zoo? This is typically for like the preschool age and younger, but it could be anybody. There's adults in there. So what's in the petting zoo?
So in the petting zoo, we have anything from chickens to baby piglets and baby lambs and other rabbits.
And then what times do they go in there? The people can go in and play with these little animals. What are your times available for going into the petting zoo?
So tonight, Thursday night, the petting zoo will be open from 7 to 8:30 p.m. On Friday and Saturday night, we'll be open from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And Saturday, we'll also have a daytime petting zoo hour from 3:30 to 5 o'clock p.m. And on Sunday, we will have the petting zoo open between 12:30 and 2 p.m. And note that it is $2 per person.
You can't say prices on the radio, public radio, but there is a little bit of a cost. But even when it doesn't have any cost, we're not allowed to say the F-R-E-E word. It's kind of funny. Okay, but anyway, it's a little bit of a fundraising effort. And when these animals are auctioned, does the person who raised it, I would assume, get the money for the auction, correct? Because it helps to offset the cost of the investment of raising the animal.
There's also an option of giving back to the club. So the money would go towards the club, and then the animal itself would be re-auctioned.
Right. Okay. All right. I get that, too. Okay. And Matt, livestock guy, tell us your mana'o.
Okay. Well, work for University of Hawaii, CTAR. The long name is the College of Tropical Agriculture
and Human
Resources. That's right. So I handle basically the livestock and pasture management program. So part of that is I get to learn from the kids, the 4-H kids, on all that they're doing. And with any kind of technical assistance they need, we try and do workshops, like teaching workshops on how to trim feet, give shots, all those wonderful things.
And I know myself as a novice livestock person, mostly with chickens and rabbits and tilapia, and over the years I have asked you for questions like about my eggs, and I'm going to even ask you a question today. But when I have asked you this, there has never been a charge. Is that just...
Well, as long as you pay your taxes.
It's a free service to, if somebody has goats and they're having trouble understanding it, they would maybe be able to call you, especially now that our Scott Sims is not with us.
Yeah, well, so what the extension service is, the University of Hawaii is what's called a land-grant university, and it has three It's called a threefold mission, one being research, and then instruction, which is typically what we think of when we think of the university. But the third is extension, and so each county has several extension agents in them. I obviously cover the livestock and pasture stuff, but there's also horticulture agents, there's the home economics agents. So our role is to connect the community with the university and vice versa.
So here's my livestock question. I have five chickens. One is black, and that one seems to lay eggs every day. I have 4 one-year-old Rhode Island Reds. They were each laying eggs every day. Now they've stopped. And I feed them. I started to feed them even the stuff that you get at Kawamura Farms. Normally I just feed them excess produce from my yardin. But these chickens seem to eat their body weight in food at least every day. These things are not hungry and going without. And I make sure they have oyster shells and stuff like that. Why at such a young age are they not laying eggs? And they've got probably 20 feet by 20 feet for their zone. I mean, they're happy chickens. They're spoiled.
And they're about a year old, you said?
They're about a year old.
Well, around a year, year and a half, they can start to molt, which is when they start replacing feathers, which typically happens when our days start getting shorter, like we pass the solstice. So that, even though we don't change much, we just still get that, and they'll respond to that. But it's also largely driven by nutrition. So even though they're eating a lot, it really depends on what's in there. So if most of what they're eating is water, it's not protein, and that's what's going into that egg. So
you get lots of worms, lots of bugs, all kinds of things. And they get, like,
well, lots is relative.
Chicken feed. Well, they eat a lot.
And they're big birds if they're Rhode Island Reds. So they need a lot.
Well, the red one's actually bigger. But I mean, the black one is even bigger. But they eat a lot. Okay, well, anyway, thank you so much. So people, if they want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Yeah, you can call my office for any questions, not just livestock. Our main line is 274-3471.
Okay, and Megan and Chantel, what if people want to join 4-H? Who do they get a hold of in 4-H?
They can either come by the fair in our petting zoo or look around in the animals and just ask any one of the 4-H'ers. We either have a white shirt or a black and pink one, and it'll say 4-H on it. You can ask any member and just ask them for Bridget Orsatelli or Tracy Pimentel or even Laura Calmora. Ask any of the leaders and they can set you guys up, tell you when we meet. We meet every Tuesday.
At what time?
We meet every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7 at St. Michael's Church in Lahui. We just meet in the parish hall.
And I heard Kawamura. Does that mean like they could probably surface at Kawamura Farms and ask for Laura or ask? I mean, where is another place? Is it online? Can they go online and look?
They can call Matt at his office, and he can redirect them as well to the club.
So, Matt, your phone number one more time?
Yeah, 274-3471. And you can ask for Laura for any 4-H questions. So, 274-3471.
So, Laura Kawamura works at your office?
Yeah.
And is she a Kawamura from Kawamura Farms?
Different Kawamura.
Different Kawamura. Okay, all right. Well, here, I was assuming a lot. And I just have to give a plug to Kawamura Farms. They are always super helpful.
Huge supporter of 4-H. We always appreciate them.
Yep. Hospice, many other things. And the Veterans Center, they do a lot for our community. And thank you for doing a lot for our community. Do you go to Kauai High?
Yes, I go to Kauai High.
What year are you?
Senior.
Senior. And you're Opawa School?
Yeah, I'm a 2012 graduate from Kauai High School and currently a fourth-year college student at the University of Hawaii at Hilo.
Oh, wow. And what are you majoring in?
Kinesiology and exercise science.
And so you're going to be going back to school real soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming by. And have a great fair. And I know I will be seeing you over there. So mahalo nui.
Thank you.
Aloha.
And Jimmy is back from wandering around, and I saw that we had Jan Ten Brickengate over here. So I was telling him he better come back. So
thanks, you guys.
Yeah, tonight we're going to be really getting a wonderful opportunity to be hearing from all kinds of island contributors. And so here we do have our
little update on the
The
Go Farm program at KCC. I got a text while we were looking for some other radio voices to come out. I'm wondering, what is Royal Jelly? And Lauren Russert, if you're out there listening, maybe you might be able to give us a more exact definition of Royal Jelly. But from what I know, it's the food of the goddess. It's what makes the queen bee the queen bee. It's excreted from young honeybees, the youngest honeybees possible. In fact, after a week, they no longer produce it. So only the youngest bees produce royal jelly to feed their siblings and the queen. The queen eats royal jelly and royal jelly only, and or is fed in her larval stage royal jelly only. I think afterwards she gets her dose of pollen and bee bread and honey as well. But royal jelly, it's the good stuff that...
That's how they make the queen.
It cures what ails you.
And so I'm just kind of looking right around where we're standing here. I see a number of really good booths. I want to give a shout out to the pictures right here of
DLNR.
DLNR, Department of Land and Natural Resources, where they're putting the fences up to be kind of keeping the pigs out of really critical habitat where the soil can get damaged. We're seeing the fires that have just been breaking out all over. So the DLNR has been working hard. And I see that we've got our Jan 10 Bruggen Gate almost over here from Kauai Island Utility Cooperative.
So, yeah, Jan said he would come join us. He was going to go look and find his table. He's going to sit at the Grow Farm table. Mm-hmm. He's selling, signing a book that he co-authored for Grow Farm. And so Jan was out doing some sightseeing at the fair. And now Felicia has kindly asked Jan to join us on the booth. We have one microphone for you, Jan. And we got a microphone for me and a microphone for Felicia. I just swapped out, so there we go, Dove. We're playing tricks on Dove. Which mic are we on?
I'd just like to say I appreciate the fact that you have just natural air conditioning.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
Right. And Steve was just saying,
hot August day, but the breeze is blowing at KKCR.
It's actually kind of pleasant in the booth right now. Thanks for joining us, Jan. Why are you here at the fair? What's the big draw for you?
I love the fair. I try to come every year. I'm working a booth in an hour or so. I wrote a history for Grow Farm Company.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to buy the book, I'll be signing copies for them.
Signing copies. We're not going to mention prices, but you can come down here.
I'm not sure what the price is. I've done my deal. I'm doing this as
the
a community
signature
service.
Free.
And I believe the proceeds of the sales go to charity.
Tell us a little bit about the book that you... authored, I suggest.
It's, yeah, well,
took pictures,
you know,
as well.
I used to be a newspaper writer,
mm-hmm.
and since those days, I occasionally have written a few books. And in that situation, Grow Farm was turning 150, and actually, one of my colleagues, Bob Kraus, wrote a history of Grow Farm when they turned 100 years old, and so that they asked me to bring it up to speed. Bring it up to date because a lot of changes have occurred in the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So for newcomers, recent transplants, Grow Farm. What did Grow Farm do? Why are they so prominent here in the island?
Grow Farm was started by a fellow named George Norton Wilcox. Actually, he was one of the early guys, but he in I think 1864 bought some property in the Lihue area from a fellow named Judge Wiedemann and started a sugar plantation. He initially sold his cane to the Lihue Mill. The Lihue Mill in those days ground cane for three plantations, making it, and it was for many years, was the most productive sugar mill in the state. It grew cane for Grow Farm for Kipu Plantation, which is now Kipu Ranch,
mm-hmm.
and for Lihue Plantation. And Grow Farm in the 40s acquired the Koloa Plant Sugar Company, the Koloa Plantation,
mm-hmm.
and that mill, and drilled a hole through the Ha'upu Mountain Range to create a tunnel that let them connect their fields to the Kahlua Mill. They ran that for many years. And as a result, Grow Farm has been a major feature of our economic, agricultural, and social life for for 150 years.
And you are a child of the plantation, aren't you? Your family worked in the plantation on Molokai'i. Do I have that right?
Pineapple plantation boy.
Pineapple plantation boy.
I was raised in the Libby plantation in Mauna Loa on Molokai'i.
Okay. And we were just talking about that before you went on the air. You also mentioned being a journalist for the Honolulu Advertiser?
Yeah, I started working for the Honolulu Advertiser when I was still a student at the University of Hawaii and stayed on and ended up working 37 years there. Most of that time as its Kauai Bureau Chief and also its Science and Environment Writer.
And when we're talking about sugar, it used to be bagasse was burned. The grass part, the tops of the sugar cane was burned and made power.
Yeah, you're sort of moving into my other sort of more recent life.
I
sit on the board at KIUC.
Sit on the board, but are the chair, or am the chair,
currently,
are the chair.
Yeah.
Is the chair.
The Kauai, up until about 1980, was the produced half of its power from bagasse, from renewable energy sources, including bagasse.
Local grown.
And when the sugar plantations started closing one by one across the state and also on Kauai, less and less of that material was available, and we started burning more and more oil until... when I got on the board at KIUC in 2010, 92% of our power was coming from oil. And our board and our excellent staff at KIUC are now trying to turn that around. And we expect by the end of this year to be back up to 40% renewable energy. And we hope to be at 50% within a couple of years.
There we go, some background noises. We are talking with Jan Tambrugi Cake from the... many hats that he wears. We are at the Kauai County Farm Bureau Fair, the yearly event that the Farm Bureau puts on with the help of many. Jerry Ornelas was here talking about the village that's involved in erecting this tent. So, Jan, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go, because we got to do it at the top of the hour and our station ID. I'm just going to tap Dove on the shoulder because I think he's going to do that from a if you will, canned, and we'll be right back here on the station that loves you, Kauai Community Radio.
For Out of the Box.
Thanks, Dove, for taking us there.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, M.D. of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
Radio. Here we go. I'm getting hold on. Mahalo's for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And I want to let you know that you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ in Moloa'a, and K284AL in Hala'iva on the gathering place of Oahu. I'm Jimmy Trujillo. I'm with Jan Tambrugi Cake here at the Kauai County Farm Bureau Fair. Dove is manning the board. We are not taking phone calls, and we're talking to fairgoers, and we're going to get some more folks here, but we've goat roped Jan to talk story a little bit about, well, we segued into renewable energy and your role with KIUC. A couple of weeks ago, you sat in front of an audience at the Kanuhale in Kalapaki and talked to folks about global climate change. Tell us a little bit about that gathering and why you were there and why the issue is one that we should continue to engage in discussions with and take action against.
Well, that was a meeting put on by Apollo Kauai, which has an interest in sustainability and renewable energy and related activities. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were going to ask me about this, so I don't have any materials with me.
Well, that's all right. I trust that you've done plenty of research.
There were four of us presenting at that affair. There were 70 or so people in the audience. It was a good crowd. We had a couple of somebody from the college to talk about the science
Dr.
of
Stephen
climate
Taylor.
Change. Yeah, and we had Ruby Papp from the
Sea Grant,
Sea Grant
and
program,
with the county planning agencies.
And Ben Sullivan to talk about what the county has been doing on renewable energy, and I was there to talk about what KIUC has been doing. We're pretty proud of our story at KIUC. When we turned on the 1 megawatt solar array in Kapaa, that was the biggest solar array in the state.
Four years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Then we turned on ANB's 6 megawatt solar array in Port Allen, and that was the biggest one in the state. And then last year we turned on Grove Farm and Solar City's. Actually, Grove Farm is the landlord, KIUC is the owner, Solar City was the developer. 12 megawatt solar array in Koloa, and that was the biggest in the state. And we hope this year to turn on an Anahola on Hawaiian homelands solar array, which is slightly bigger than the Koloa plant. So it's. We're making stupendous progress. By the end of this year, we'll have, I think, more solar on our system than any utility on a per person basis than any utility in the country. And I'm about to get outshined.
Well, we are definitely bringing in folks from the community. We have the fair is an attraction for Kauai, so we have, if you will, visiting dignitaries from all over. But Jan, back to our discussion for climate change. How do you see Kauai developing the resiliency that it needs to address the issues of whether it's
acidification.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then rising shorelines.
Yeah, Kauai is a really small place. We can't make a whole lot of difference on a global basis. We can, because we're small and nimble, we have the unique property of having a community-owned cooperative that can move fairly quickly, as we have, faster than any utility in the state,
mm-hmm.
certainly, and maybe in the country. Toward renewables. One of the things we can do is we can be an example to the rest of the world. That's not a top of mind. You know, our main goals are to get rates under control. They've been way too high, and we are driving rates down, although it's
at least
a slow
keeping
process.
It stable.
Yeah. And to provide reliable power,
mm-hmm.
and to get us off of oil. It's a big deal for us, and we're moving with as much speed as we can in that mm-hmm. direction. It's cool.
Yeah, and I mean, it is cool to see change happening. At the same time, I know that there is a lot of hope that the pumped hydro storage system, that's going to be, again, moving us in the right direction.
That's one of the projects that we're doing a lot of research on. We don't have all of our eggs in that basket. We're looking at a number of different things. This is a dynamic field. One of the messages I had for the Apollo Kauai crowd a week and a half ago was that when we committed to be 50% renewable by 2023. In our strategic plan at KIUC, we had no idea how to do that.
Right.
No utility knew how to do that. And we're about to accomplish that with years to spare. Now we're already looking at how do you get to 100%? And a pumped storage facility, which is to say using a couple of old plantation reservoirs, at dramatically different elevations. In the daytime, pumping water from the lower one up. At night, letting that water run back down through a hydroelectric plant. Therefore, essential and using low-cost solar energy that's generated during the day, we're effectively taking the sunlight and moving that into the evening hours when we would otherwise be burning oil. It's an ancient technology, really old technology, but it's one that for us, given the fact that we have a lot of elevation changes on our island, we have old plantation irrigation systems, we have reservoirs at different elevations. We're taking advantage of the unique properties of our island to get us to where we need to be. And I think worldwide, the energy picture is solved locally. It's solved by using what you've got.
There we go. And I know that there's been concerns raised. I'm sure that you're going to hear these coming up in regards to the diversion of water. It's the classic water issue. Felicia and Jerry were talking about it earlier, that Mark Twain's quote that whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting for. I know that there's concerns that, are we diverting the water and is it going back to where it should go or is it going somewhere different? This pump storage is going to be helpful in many ways, but at the same time, are we potentially creating some unforeseen consequences downstream in regards to moving that water?
That's something we look at and we're aware of. One of the nice things about pump storage systems is that they're not a net user of water. You're not using once you fill the reservoir once, you're pumping the same water up and down for the next 20 years. So it is not, once you've gotten it started, you're not diverting water out of existing irrigation systems, out of existing streams, with the exception of small amounts of water that are lost to evaporation.
Yeah, so, I guess that the areas of concern, again, back to folks that want to see water used wisely and water used justly, this is going to be an ongoing challenge for resource managers and for us consumers. How do we be wise in our use and not exploit resources to the point where there's either environmental or socioeconomic impacts that we haven't really seen them.
It's one of the real challenges for any community, and it's a challenge that this community is confronted with on a regular basis, is anything you do has impacts, and doing nothing has impacts.
Right.
And at some point you need to balance impacts and conclude that, this thing may have certain impacts, this one has fewer impacts and it has more bonuses, and at some point you may need to make some difficult decisions. And it would be unusual if we all agreed about all of those decisions. So I mean, you and I have gone round and round on a couple of issues, and that's the way it should be. We ought to have rational conversations as a
Absolutely.
Community and come to conclusions.
Absolutely. And before Scott and Enright is moved on to the opening ceremonies,
you want to grab him?
Well, maybe we'll make the transition here shortly. But just want to acknowledge your work. And your many contributions. I know that we might not see eye to eye in regards to the use of pesticides and the applications of them, but we are working to find solutions, and that's one of the things that we do well here on the Garden Island. Felicia is going to join us and introduce our next guest. Jan Tambrunke, thank you for joining us.
I'll introduce him. This is Scott Enright, director of the Department of State Department of Agriculture, and I'm going to turn over the microphone to him.
There you go. Hello, Scott, for joining us. Jimmy Trujillo, we met in Governor Abercrombie's, Meet the Cabinet discussion at our Chiefest Middle School a couple years back. Well, it's been longer than that now I think about it. But welcome to KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, and Out of the Box, and our Kauai County Farm Bureau Fair. You're one of the, if you will, you're going to be one of the featured folks here, I'm sure. You got a number of pokers in the fire, right, with the ag and the...
We do.
And Kauai.
It's wonderful to be here. And the last time I was by, Senator Ron Cochi brought me by to say hi, but we missed you.
There we go. Well, I'm glad that you're here now. Well, what brings you here to the fair?
You know, I would have been to the fair anyway, but Governor David Ige couldn't make it, so mm-hmm. I am here in his place to open the farm fair.
Thanks. Are you going to be speaking tonight?
I am.
In the main tent?
In the main tent for the opening ceremony.
And that'll be at 6 o'clock this evening.
That's correct.
And we're excited that you're joining us before that. Thanks, Jerry, for bringing Scott here to talk story with us. You know, ag for our state, where we have a rich history of agriculture. We've got island communities that want to produce their own food. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to helping us meet that goal of importing less and maybe getting to the point where we're going to be exporting food or other value-added products for our farmers and producers?
Well, you know, there's statewide, there's differences. So for Kauai, what we are really looking forward to is developing a mentoring program over here. We have had agricultural lands, Kalepa in the Ahupuaha, just outside of Lihue, and we have 6,000 acres. We've got like a 2,000 that was irrigated sugar lands. It's prime production lands, and we don't have agriculturalists that are looking to take that over. Now, whoever comes forward needs to demonstrate a good business plan, but we have land available.
That's really exciting to hear. You know, we have, like, Jimmy's holding the Go Farm program. And
right.
Up in Kilauea, you must be aware of our 75-acre Kilauea Ag Park, where we want to do, instead of like a community garden, it's like having a community farm. So people start with a half acre, and when they show that they have, and they'll get training, and when they have the skill set to make that half acre work well, then they move on to having 5 acres. Is what our goal is right there. And so we're all trying to work at the training.
Yeah, it's a great concept. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture has been funding the Go Farm program for the last 2 years. So we found it to be an excellent mentoring tool.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supportive and we'll continue to be supportive.
And it sure seems that it provides a hands-on, experiential model for wannabe farmers or folks that wanted a little bit more training to help with their business side or help with their production side. And these types of programs are exactly the type of investment that it seems like we're going to try to weigh heavily in the future.
Yeah, we definitely need this. You know, one of the controversial issues here in Kauai is the state's Department of the Agribusiness Development Corporation,
mm-hmm.
ADC, and its lands, the old Kekaha sugar lands on the west side,
mm-hmm.
and the leases that have been given out in the past have, to a great extent, been to biotech companies. But the reason for that is we don't have agriculturalists stepping up and asking to take that land. Now, the executive director of ADC, Jimmy Nakatani, has been going around the state asking agriculturalists on other islands to consider coming over here and cropping food behind the biotech or coming in and taking the leases as they're given up.
Right.
But we would really love to see local Kauai farmers step forward and take that land, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal.
I know there is a crop that people have a lot of interest in, or some people do, which is called kanaf, that could be also have export seed and is said to have a real high BTU rate if it would be used for energy, and it is a bioremediator, so that seems like a pretty good companion or a crop that could be grown behind or with some of these crops that maybe are a little bit more controversial.
You know, one more controversial one, and there was an article recently that I saw online from Hawaii News Now, the hemp and the experimental use of industrial hemp, I think, in Waimanalo side. They're growing some test plots. How do you see the Department of Ag continue to facilitate the development and the growth of this type of new crops or large commodity?
Well, you know, talking specifically to hemp, Representative Cynthia Thielen was trying to get a hemp bill through the ledge for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And last year at the start of the legislative session, Farmers Union had an ask in that there be some support for hemp. So I worked with Representative Thielen to get that piece of legislation through, and it's funded with Hawaii Department of Agriculture money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a project that we were integral in moving forward. and then funding the research. Currently, I'm working with Farmers Union to come up with more commercial hemp crops.
Uh-huh.
And there's an ask to assist them in bringing in seed from out of state. So, you know, that's work that we'll continue to do. When there's an ask from some segment of the agricultural community for a crop or a technology, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture supports all agriculture, and we'll support that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put on my beekeeping hat, and tonight we have our honey tasting here. It's our fifth annual Kauai Beekeepers Association honey tasting at the Farm Bureau. Lauren Russert is here from Hilo, from the Big Island, and the Department of Ag's apiary program, and we're very appreciative of the state's attention that we've received in the last several years. There was money released several years ago to help us fund a little small hive research, small hive beetle research. This year we're going to be looking at doing some queen rearing.
Right.
Easier said than done with Danielle and Lauren, guys at the community college, our apiary program there, in ways that we might be able to improve local stock as well as provide capacity improvements, increasing that ability for local honey producers and local beekeepers to be able to have locally sourced queens. And we can't right now import queens. We're kind of, if you will, our hands are tied, but that's okay because we want to keep varroa mite away so the moratorium on importing bees can be met by us growing our own bees here.
Exactly.
And so thank you for helping the Department of Ag do the good work that they're doing, for joining us here on Out of the Box. Felicia, you got to...
Well, I have something I want to share, too, and the Kauai Farmers Union United, which typically is more mom-and-pop-sized farms, they are have a lot of gratitude for some help in Moloa with what we need for...
A commercial kitchen,
commercial
processing space.
Because there's this Food Safety Management Act, FSMA is what
right.
they call it.
Right.
And that is really, really tough on organic farming because it pretty much outlaws nature, right? So it's really, really difficult for doing diversified ag. But this wash station and stuff, we want to be able to see how that works. You might speak a little bit to what's being proposed. We're hoping to have something similar in Kilauea, maybe Kalihi. Why we're hoping that we can come up with a plan that can be matched and replicated in other areas where farmers can come together, because the Food Safety Management Act makes it very hard for small farmers to be supplying food locally. We used to have something called the Tester Amendment, and I guess that's sundown, so that's a little tough.
Well, it's, yes, Felicia, the Food Safety Modernization Act, or FSMA, is the first time the federal government's taken up food safety regs since the 1930s. And it's no exaggeration to say it's a game changer. I would say it's a paradigm shift in the way business will be done.
It's hard.
And I work on these issues on almost a daily basis. Currently, I serve as the president of NASDA, which is the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. So I'm president for all 50 states. And I work directly with FDA on the implementation of FSMA. So initially, the Testa Amendment's going to hold. John Testa, the senator from Montana. It's going to hold.
Oh, my goodness. When was that decided?
It probably about a month ago.
Okay. And yay. That's good news.
That's good. So any farm that grosses less than $500,000 a year is initially exempt from food safety. But here's the catch. You know, over the course of time, it's going to be driven by liability insurance. So what's going to happen is underwriters are not going to write policies if you're not hitting food safety regs. So anybody that needs a liability insurance policy, and that's anybody that invites the public in, so farmers markets, retailers, mm-hmm. restaurants. And so what happens is you're almost limited to community-supported agriculture if you're not hitting FSMA regs. This is the expectation that we have nationally of what will transpire.
And just to be clear, best that I can tell, when I read the FSMA regulations, and they're extensive, it pretty much wants to separate any animals from plants that are eaten. And animals and plants need to be together for it to have healthy, nutritious soil. That's how nature does it. If you don't bring in chemicals or artificial fertilizers, if you don't have... If you do natural farming methods, animals and plants go together. So when FSMA separates that, it's criminalizing nature. Is the best way that I could look at it. I'm stunned with what it puts in there.
No, it's there. The You know, I took training from Bill Mollison in permaculture.
Okay,
so, you know, I am probably unique in some of my training for somebody that is the chair of agriculture. So I know exactly of what you speak. But this is the FDA. They don't do agriculture. They do health and drugs. And so this is problematic. Now, what we did do at NASDA, along with the help from Farmers Union and from Farm Bureau nationally, is ask the FDA to take it back and do a second draft. And they did that. But it's still problematic for things like permaculture and other types of natural farming methods.
Another shout out, and I know we've got some other amazing people here, and you're going to have to go give a speech, but I want to give a shout out to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, where they are helping to offer farmers insurance for diversified ag. And in the past, it's just been crop by crop. And so that's something that our local farmers here need to learn a little bit more about, because I think it will take some of the risk or soften some of the risk in a similar way that monoculture has in being able to grow a crop with confidence. Because if there's some terrible thing that happens in the market that's unforeseen, or a hurricane comes or something like that, then they're covered. Where in the past it hasn't happened for diversified ag, where people have little organic farms of all different kinds of things. So now they can insure their whole farm. And I think that's wonderful. And that happened January 15th of this year for the first time.
Right, exactly. And, you know, USDA is trying to be more responsive to, you know, the changes in as they see it in agriculture. So, yes. It's a wonderful program. I expect more wonderful programs from USDA.
Well, thank you so much. And we invite you into the studio at KKCR sometime in the future, and we can have, like, a really robust...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd love to have you back, Scott. Thank you for joining us. Mahalo, have a great weekend, and continue to do the good work that you're doing.
Thank you for the work you do in ag, and for the wonderful apiary work that you're doing with us. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Felicia.
Scott Enright from the Department of Ag, our chair, or
nice meeting you.
As we call him, the Chief Poobah, Grand Poobah, will bring our next honored guest here on. And, Dove, thank you for holding down the fort.
Listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Out of the Box, and we are live at the Kauai Farm Fair.
Live. And Jerry DiPietro with Kauai GMO Free Kauai Hawaii Seed. How many fairs have you been to since you've been an island girl?
Oh, my gosh. Aloha. At least 10, I would say. We weren't here last year, but I think we've only missed 3 years total since 2000. So
yes. Well, thanks for joining us here on Out of the Box. We're usually on the phone with you, or you're in the booth. First time at the fair. Thanks.
Yeah, this is great to be here at the fair, man. The energy is a buzz, and everybody should come on down. We've got Hawaii Seed is here, the beekeepers. We're giving away all kinds of free DVDs.
What do you got going on with the Hawaii Seed table, GMO-free Kauai table? What's going on there?
Yeah, we've got a nice, cool place to sit down, talk story. We got some great guests that are going to be here over the weekend. Don Heacock will be in our booth talking story.
Oh, nice.
Margie Maupin, several of the scientists on island. We're going to be giving away free DVDs. All of the speaking tours we've had on Kauai have all been filmed. So we've been making copies of things that we've created ourselves.
Yes.
And we've got the new Center for Food Safety pesticide report. All kinds of cool stuff. So, and our bumper stickers.
Your bumper stickers. Be friendly. Jerry, we have had a couple of... there was three speakers, three events early late in July, so last month already. For folks that didn't know the work that your two speakers, and you had one night where Dr. Lauren Pang was also at Kauai Community College, I think he joined you guys.
Yep.
Now, this work, this outreach that you do it at the fair, you have special events. Why do you do this?
You know, really, it comes down to good, healthy soil and producing our own food. We all, I think, have this very common interest of wanting to see our abundant resources and our community be taken care of, be sustainable, be creating the inputs we need to grow food locally We need to be able to replace all those barges bringing food in. It's a huge opportunity for people who are willing to grow food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great market to pick up all the hotel guests, our million visitors. We do it because we want to see the change. And, you know, it's starting to take place. These last 5 years have been amazing.
It is. And we just had, you know, you saw him, Scott, and right here, the chief from the Department of Ag. He wants to find farmers. You know, we have a number of different, I think, programs. We got Eric Hansen with Kauai Community College doing the Go Farm program. Ohana Kauai has got a farm started. You know, you've seen, if you will, growth of people being aware of their food and wanting to know where their food comes from and to want to grow their own. What do you see the trends? How do you see that continuing?
Well, you know, I think of Rising Sun Organic Farms up in Nolawa'a.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting CSA from Salcon and all the good farmers up there. And it's amazing. You know, I come every week, pick up, I get, you know, all kinds of greens, all kinds of fruit. It's so healthy. We've never ate so well, and I don't have to even run around store to store. You know?
There we go. So community-supported agriculture, CSAs, and you're right, Solcon has been doing hard work, laboring with his woofers and his interns and his farmhands and producing food for the people.
Yeah, we were just over on Oahu for the Aloha Aina Unity March, mm-hmm. 10,000 people. And they served luau stew and poi all day. And a lot of the kalo all came from Kauai, you know, from Waiole, from farmers in Onipa'a Nahui Kalo donated. And it's just, it's amazing, you know. We have to push that forward while we look at also reclaiming and restoring the land that's been used for chemical experimentation. I hope at this point GMO-free Kauai's goal is to not let any more acreage on Kauai be polluted with genetic, transgenic contamination and chemical cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hold that there. We got to learn how to clean it up, and we got to identify our lands that haven't been tainted and put them into local food production so we can have more bees, right, Jimmy?
And cultivate more farmers.
Right.
We're going to cultivate the next generation of farmers because we have to. And there is, if you will, a growing population that want to provide food for themselves, provide food for their family, provide food for their community. And, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Right.
And we will.
Jerry, thanks so much for joining us here on Out of the Box. All the good work you do. I'm going to give you a big hug. Yay.
Yay.
So mahalo for joining us. We'll see you later on in the booth at the fair.
All right. I'll be back for the honey tasting, too.
Right.
Aloha.
Start at 6 o'clock. Aloha. And I'm going to have Pat Hegan join us next. We're going to transition. He's got a headphone on already. Felicia, you want to take a chair or give Pat the opportunity?
Oh, we want to hear from Pat. And we're going to be...
And Scott, we are live at the fair with
Dove
at the helm.
Lots of great things. We're going to hear from the Department of Land and Natural Resources pretty soon about the hyena rules that are coming up starting tomorrow. And Ron Kochi, and we're hearing from Zero Waste Kauai
Pat Hegan, for folks who don't know, what is Zero Waste Kauai?
Zero Waste Kauai is a bunch of people who are looking for better alternatives than continue building our landfill.
And just throwing it away. The future is ours. Let's not throw it away.
It is. And I mean, you know, quite seriously, just real briefly on Zero Waste, if you take a look at it, it's materials we're throwing away,
mm-hmm.
all too much. And what we want to do is find the best alternative for those materials, which many times means recycling them, reusing them, trying to extend their life as much as we can so we don't have to go after all those virgin resources and continue mining and drilling and doing all those things.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about Zero Waste Kauai's impact at our county fair. Kauai County Farm Bureau Fair, when you first started coming, how did we manage our wastes here on site?
Directly to the landfill. And it's improved over the years because they've started doing more recycling, which is also a no-brainer. You know, they're doing it really well. The other thing is a few years ago we started actually doing some compost and composting all the food service ware. So all of our vendors out there from our local nonprofits and everything are utilizing compostable food service material, and that's all heading up north to Heart and Soul Organics, which is allowing us to drop the stuff there. They take it, they basically mix it in with all their green waste, and then you can go up there and get some high-quality soil that you can add to that.
Well, that's really wonderful. And I know there's a lot of coconut that gets mixed in with that. They have really many good pieces in there.
Yep. Heart and Soul does a great job, and they had to go through a special process to take the food waste because that's all covered by the Department of Health. So we really appreciate what Mark Freeman and his sons and the company has done up there to accept that food waste from us. And I'll tell you what, Zero Waste Kauai is actually here at the fair for a couple of reasons. One is we're assisting with trying to divert as much of that material as you can. So if you come out to the fair, look across from the food booths, and you'll see some of the waste stations, we call them, but it's really a materials management place where you can put your compost, your recyclables, and the trash that does have to go to Kekaha. We do have a booth out here. We're right next to the county recycling office, and what we're focusing on while we're there is trying to get businesses actually to do more diversion themselves. The county is looking at having some new resolutions put in that is actually going to require businesses to do a little bit more diversion than they are. So
can they still give food waste to pig farmers?
Food waste can go to pig farmers. That's a great use for it.
I know my food waste goes to my chickens.
Yep, and I do the same at home, and the stuff that doesn't go to the chickens goes into my little compost, and the County of Kauai will give you a free compost bin for those of you at home who would like to do that.
I know with my paper products, it's honestly a little bit harder to compost that down. I tend to set it on top of weeds,
mm-hmm.
things like that, you know.
Over time it does it, plus it helps cut down on your weeds in your garden.
Over time, yeah, but it's a little bit slower.
It is.
Than I would like it to be.
But it all works. So we're out here, we'll talk with businesses who want to do that. One of the other initiatives we've got going on is actually looking at trying to eliminate the styrofoam that we're using so much on this island. Everybody loves a good plate lunch. But you know what? Styrofoam, in our opinion, is not the best item to put it on. There's potential health concerns there, as well as the environmental concerns. That does not break down. And just to give you an idea, about 3.6 million pounds of styrofoam go into the Kekaha landfill in a year. We would love to turn that into something that could be composted, could be reused. So if you're out here walking around the fair, stop by the Zero Waste booth. I would love to give you some little business cards that just says, Aloha, valued chef. We'd love to see you make sure that you're using environmentally sound and compostable type material and get rid of the styrofoam. And what we really want to do is have people pick those up, take them to their favorite restaurants, and try to get the chefs to assist us in that.
I know Kilauea is pretty much styrofoam free at this point.
They are. No, they've done a good job there. And you know what? More and more people are heading that direction, and it's looking really good. Just one other thing that I want to mention. I know you guys had Jan talking about KIUC stuff and everything.
And you're on the board, too.
I'm on the board. And one of the things I'd like to let you know, and I know we're not going to talk prices, but KIUC does have a lot of light bulbs that they would love to transfer to people, and it is at a very reasonable price, meaning that even a kindergartner without a job could come and get some.
Okay.
So please
do
that.
So where do they go get them?
That'll be in the KIUC booth, which is in the commercial vendors area. The other thing, just to make sure your listeners all know about, is if you've got a house fan or a ceiling fan that needs to be replaced, or you want to put one up, right now KIUC has extended their rebates on some of these small appliances, so it includes house fans. So if you get a house fan, you can get $25 rebate from KIUC or off the price. And if you do have an old window air conditioner and want to upgrade to a more energy efficient one, they will give you up to $50 for that. So just to make sure people are aware of that.
I just put 6 house fans in. Can I still get the rebate? I did it in the last 2 weeks.
You know what? Go check at the KIUC booth. They actually have more of the details on the board. We don't get down into the nitty-gritty details. But, you know, and the light bulbs. Just Jan was talking about new generation and the generation that we're looking at, keeping that clean. The other thing to remember is one of the things our good friend Jonathan Jay says, the best kilowatt is a megawatt. So come get the light bulbs. They're LED light bulbs. So instead of even using 13 watts to get 60 watts of light, you're using about 6 or 7. So it's an even more efficient type of bulb.
Pat, before you go, there's an upcoming Apollo Kauai meeting. Did you guys talk about it?
There is. We haven't touched that. So Jan talked a little bit about the last one. We did have a meeting yesterday of Paulo Kauai, looking at what we did at the first meeting was actually got ideas from people about what they were interested in and what they could potentially work on or wanted to focus on regarding climate change. That went everything from, you know, personal actions that you can do to how do we make sure KIUC is going down the right direction and all of that. What we're going to do is the next meeting, I believe, is on the 26th, 27th. We'll make sure you
Wednesday.
Guys get it so you can put it on your calendar. And we've got Mr. Kavika Winter coming from Lima Huli, and what he's going to focus on in his brief discussion, probably about half an hour, is talking about how native plants are going to be impacted by the climate change we're already in feeling, and then we're actually going to turn it into a work group. So we're going to break down into some of those subject areas and see what
at
we can do.
At the fair here?
No, this will be
the upcoming meeting.
Okay.
Yep,
all
and
right.
This will be back down at the Canoe Club, same place we held the last one, and we'll get into the work groups and actually start making okay. that impact. And one of the things that you know you mentioned was, and Jan mentioned, is Kauai is very small, and we might not have a big impact on the whole thing. But you know what? The way I look at it is, if I'm doing something that's not good for the environment, not good for climate change, I've got to change that behavior and make that change. We got into this trouble by doing the things we did. We can get out of it by making different changes. So thank you, you guys. Great to see you here at the fair.
Thank you so much, Pat Gagan. And now we have Senator Ron Cochi. Ron.
Right on. Thank you, Senator Ron. Senate President Ron Cochi.
Senate President Ron Cochi.
Just go ahead and get right close to the talking to the sock, as they say. Welcome to Kauai
Hello.
Community Radio and the Kauai County Farm Bureau Fair.
Great to be here.
Yes, thank you. And Felicia, thanks for if you will, goat roping you in. We are
goat roping isn't a positive farming term.
we're trying to get reluctant voices. Not everybody wants to go on the radio, but you've been willing to, so we thank you in the past for sharing. For folks coming to the fair, what are some of the stories that you're going to share with them?
And are you speaking at 6 in the opening?
I don't know if we're speaking. We're certainly there for the presentation, and it's our privilege to be part of honoring for not just Roy Oyama. He made it clear it's the Oyama Farms and the family activity that it is.
Let me give him a shout out for that. As oftentimes the man of the family gets all the credit, and I really want to honor him because most typically the wife and the kids are a very, very big part of any piece of that success. So the Oyama family, yay,
yes.
You're being honored.
The other thing that was troubling is that we had an appropriation for the Molawa Co-op. Mm-hmm. And to
Thank
help
you.
With the processing and the water.
We spoke with Chair Enright about that earlier.
Right, and the pass-through was identified as the County of Kauai, and I heard last Wednesday Luisa and the group hadn't heard anything, and then there were all of these questions, and we were a little concerned that maybe the county was going to say we're not going to take the money, and I know I talked to Representative Kawakami on Monday, and he had a chance to talk to Chair Raposo, and I think it's all been cleared up, but the grant application was fairly simple in that, they were going to be receiving the money. Mm-hmm. Once they got the money, the cooperative, just like the East Kauai water users, operate and run the facilities, and so there's no cost to the county, and it just goes to show it's just not easy doing ag.
But we want to
yes.
thank you for doing that. And at our, as I mentioned a little earlier, our Kauai Farmers Union United meeting, we were talking about water responsibility and, you know, what is impacts of fresh wells. And we understand that there is some public concern for that. So, there's discussion. But thank you so much for what's happened, and not just the well, but for also helping to get the stuff for a wash station for FSMA compliance. And we were just speaking with Scott Enright on that. And I want to also honor you for being a partner in our project that we've just got coming up, where we're going to experiment with doing edible landscaping in Kilauea Park. Talia Abrams has worked really hard on that, and we're
more than a year. She's
more than
got
a
great
year, and I say we better get this going before she graduates. Yeah, but I think it'll be real exciting. And I've talked to some of the neighbors, like my next door neighbor. I'm going to shout out his name there, Eddie Maruta. He's basically born to that house down at the the little dispensary there in town, but he's lived his whole life there. And Kilauea Park at one point had really a lot of agriculture in it, you know.
Yes.
So he was real supportive of it.
Randy Uehara in Waimea, you know, when there was some issues with the pipeline and who actually owned it and everything, after some community meetings out there when William Isla was the chair of DLNR. The Waimea community, Jerry Ornelas, was helpful in creating the cooperative, so we did fix the water line there. There was a small $10,000 PA ditch appropriation, but they've got a cooperative that's working. We've got the money that continues to support the East Kauai water users, who their in-kind is 3 or 4 to 1 as it relates to the money they get from the state, and so it's great to have that cooperative effort in keeping our irrigation systems in place and keeping agriculture as a viable alternative.
I went on the field trip with the Conservation Water and Resource Management. Suzanne Case was here, mm-hmm. and William Isla, and that was an excellent field trip where we all walked up and looked at the water usage. And it seems like water is something that's going to be very big and being addressed in the next year or so. I think I look forward to that.
The other thing that I'm excited about, and probably within the next week and a half or so, I'm going to meet with KEO to get a briefing.
Kauai Economic Opportunity.
Yes, but we did give them a $500,000 grant for solar PV panels, and that'll cover 90% of their electrical consumption. Their bill currently is a little over $100,000 annually. So that's $90,000 that'll be going into programs rather than for their electric bill.
And for the listener who might not know, Kauai Economic Opportunity services the people who are struggling?
They have at least 16 different programs when you go to the website in assisting those in the greatest need in our community.
Mm-hmm. And the houseless is a big part of it. And
But the second thing we did is they also got a grant in aid for about $125,000 for their homelessness transitional program.
Mm.
And so,
tell us about that. What is that going to do?
So we're going in to meet with them. That's why I say maybe within the next week and a half to hear exactly how they want to implement it. Obviously, in the Star Advertiser and the local television news, what's been happening on Oahu has been at the forefront, and I'm just glad that we proactively funded some programs here on Kauai.
Thank you for that. And just this past week, I went to Ka'aka'ako, and I went to I think it was called Second Chances place right there. You know, really what they're doing there. I went out to Sand Island. It's kind of industrial sites where these people are being moved to. So they've got a real challenge there.
Well, but the money chairs have committed at least initially $5 million, so we've got some money to work with to look at actually putting in transitional shelter facilities. Or, you know, the governor has said now that the bankruptcy proceeding went through, maybe there's an opportunity for better terms at the Hilo Hattie building and converting that to homeless shelter.
Yeah.
You couldn't negotiate the terms on that first time it was up. That's why the city had also passed. And there's an opportunity there, but we also put in about $4 million to upgrade the Hanapepe Eleele water line, as well as $1 million to improve that intersection. So the county affordable housing project, we're trying to partner with them and cover some of the infrastructure costs to make sure that we can get those homes to the targeted income groups where we want to make a difference.
I would like to honor that Kolopua apartments are available now. People can go. That's in Princeville. They're really excellent. I've gone in and looked. I would love to see a houseless task force put together, because it's really a challenge. I know even in that, they've got amazing place there, and they are not getting their target market of who they really want to most house really coming in for those housing, you know. So we're trying to work with that and help with that a bit, you know, Kauai Community Radio, because we can put the word out on that, but we've got to work on that.
And then the other thing on my plate, I'm just trying to start working on scheduling, visiting all 15 public school principals to find out what's happening in their school, what are the things that are going great that we can support, and then certainly what are the needs that they want to identify. But I certainly intend to get to every school before we start the session so that, you know, when we discuss what kind of help is needed for Kauai in the schools, certainly I would be able to respond to
and
that.
And charter schools, could they give you a call? And
they
maybe
can certainly call. We've gotten a lot of conversation with ILEAD and their application right now. So.
Yeah.
Well, Senator Ron Cochi, thank you for joining us out of the box in Kauai Community Radio. I know the 6 o'clock opening ceremonies is upon us. We have new guests that are going to come join us, talk story about our honey tasting that's coming up at 6 o'clock, Lauren Russett. And no, Lonnie, I didn't get your last name. Borders. We're going to get you on the mic here shortly. Thank you, Senator Cochi, for joining us. Felicia, thank you for getting goat roping all of our visitors to come join us in the booth.
Yeah, we've had an excellent show.
We are going to be continuing on for another 2 hours of live broadcasting with Evolve Radio after this out of the box.
So my two final points.
Yes, please.
The most important is just thank you to you and all your listeners. And then the second point is, I will make that time to find the food booth, but there's so many different food booths and wonderful organizations. It's great to support them here at the Farm Fair.
Well, excellent. Close by, we've got Hanalei Pauai.
Hanalei Taro.
The Hanalei Taro is in the house.
Rodney
the
Haraguchi.
Haraguchi family and Brad guys are serving it up down at this side of the fair. We are in the nonprofit vendor booth. Come and say hi to us at Kauai Community Radio. Come taste some honey. We are going to be giving
Senator
it away.
Senator Ron, come on the air in the studio sometime soon up there.
All right.
Yep. Honey for sale, honey for sampling. Ron Cochi, Senate President, thank you for joining us on Out of the Box. I'll take your headphones, shake your hand. Mahalo nui. And Dove, thank you. Got one little station.
Go Farm Hawaii at Kauai Community College is a training program assisting those interested in agriculture and becoming viable production growers. An Ag Curious seminar will be held Tuesday, August 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. KCC's OSET Building, Room 106 C and D. Hear from successful farmers about their growing experiences and learn more about the not-for-credit GoFarm training program. More information and RSVP at 245-8318.
Buffalo Records presents the legendary founder of the Byrds, folk rock pioneer Roger McGuinn. Famous for his many top 10 hits, including Mr. Tambourine Man and Turn, Turn, Turn. Roger McGuinn will be performing at KCC Performing Arts Center on August 15th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at Hanalei Strings and Things, Kauai Music and Sound, Small Town Coffee, Scotty's Music, Progressive Expressions, Kalaheo Music and Strings, and at BuffaloRecords.com. For more information, 808-386-1783.
There we go, and we're back live from Kauai County Farm Bureau Fair. We've got some new guests in the booth. This is a whole different booth. Thanks, Felicia, for helping get this show out and about. I've got Noelani. What was your name again?
Waters.
Waters. Noelani Waters and Lauren Russert from the Department of Ag, the apiary. You're the B team.
Yep.
Yes, thanks for joining us. I know for the listeners who haven't been paying attention, what do you do for the Department of Ag?
So we are part of the apiary program. We travel around the Hawaiian Islands helping beekeepers, doing surveys. We around the ports, we have biosecurity traps to make sure no Africanized bees come in, varroa mite into Kauai. We certify a lot of queen breeders, everything imaginable with honeybees. We have a breeder program with varroa-sensitive hygiene bees right now. A little bit of everything.
Tell
teach
us a little
classes.
Bit about that, because we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about this varroa-sensitive hygiene bee. And where'd you guys find this bee, and how are we getting it to Kauai?
So in the bee population, for bee genetics, about 10% of the bees have this trait. And it's a trait that will detect varroa mite, which is a mite that will suck the bee's blood and leave it with diseases and viruses. It transmits these viruses, and the bees are able to detect in the cells with the larva where they're at, and they're able to uncap the cell and take the larva out. So for us and our program and Louisiana and other places that are doing this, we've studied these bees over time, over years, to get the best traits for this gene. And we're also looking at other traits as well, like honey production, nice brood patterns, a little bit of everything to make a great bee.
Nice brood patterns.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds kind of, what does that mean, nice brood patterns?
That means that the queen laid in almost every single cell. And if you're looking at a honeybee frame, everything is filled in with larvae.
There we go. So that's a hard-working mama.
Yep.
Now, Noe, how long? This is your first time visiting Kauai as a state apiarist?
Yes, my first time with the state. I've been here once before, but it's great to be here. Thank you.
Where are you from?
I'm from Hilo, the Big Island, yeah.
Right on. You went to school at UH Hilo?
Yes.
And graduated from their ag program?
Yes, I did. Tropical agriculture, agroecology, and I have a beekeeping certificate.
So we just earlier had some folks from Future Farmers of America and 4-H.
Awesome.
How did you get involved with ag?
Big Island is ag-based, and I grew up there and just always knew that was a part of my life. Yeah, my parents are, you know, green thumbs and grow everything, and I just kind of naturally went into it. I came back after leaving from high school. I went to Portland and then came back and had to do ag. It was just my calling. And then I found that I really love honeybees, and that's how I'm here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right on. How long have you been working for the Department of Ag?
Since October of last year.
Terrific. Well, welcome to Kauai.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to our honey tasting. We were just talking with one of the beekeepers, Lee Wilkie, about different colors and different flavors. What causes honey to be a different color?
Mostly it's the nectar source that the bee is foraging from. Mm-hmm. So all the different flowers and tropical fruits and trees around that they're out there collecting nectar from.
And they're just going to have different...
different colors and textures.
Yeah. Lauren wants to add something
and
to that.
And another thing that causes darker honey would be older comb in the hive.
Oh, so the wax storage, if it's a little bit older and darker, the honey's a little bit darker.
So as soon as the bees use that frame for larva, every time they use it, they coat it with a dark resin and propolis and other structures to clean it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you use that frame for honey, then they use that frame, and it when you extract it, it turns out a lot darker.
There we go. How does temperature affect that as well?
The colder the temperature, the thicker it will be.
Mm-hmm.
So certain honeys will crystallize in cooler temperatures.
Mm.
And there's also varieties like Lehua, Ohia Lehua, and Kiawe honeys that will crystallize in any temperature.
And does temperature affect the color? Or
not
so much?
No. It shouldn't.
So I want to ask you guys a little bit about the work that you were doing today.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were out collecting samples from local beekeepers
for
the county pesticide pollen program. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the county of Kauai gave a grant to beekeepers so that we can go and test out pollens from inside the hive around the island, and it tests pesticide residues. So we go in the colony. We have about 20 to 25 beekeepers we're going to be sampling. And we go in and take the pollen, the fresh pollen, out of the cells, and we send it off to a lab, and they analyze it for 170 different types of pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
And we go all over the island. We've gone to the west side, south side. Today we were on the east and north sides of the island, and tomorrow we'll be doing a little bit more.
Do you know how many samples we've collected already?
So far we've collected about 10 samples, 10 or 11, and we need about 10 to 15 more beekeepers.
So if people want to, if you will, allow their hives to be inspected by you guys and participate in this program, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call us. My number is 808-352-3010. That's 808-352-3010. Or they can email me at lauren.m.russert. at hawaii.gov.
And how do you spell Lauren?
L-A-U-R-E-N dot M, as in Michael, dot R-U-S ERT at hawaii.gov.
Terrific. And also you could go to the Hawaii Bee website and get your contact information as well, or you or Danielle.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
If you call the Hawaii Department of Ag, they will direct you to us.
Terrific. I got handling out. Oh, here we go.
And we will also assess the colony.
Thanks,
we will also assess the colony if the beekeeper would like, and let you know how to improve it or what we see in there, if there's a queen, if they're nice bees, whatever the beekeeper wants, we can go inspect them. And we will not track your colonies.
There we go. So it is kind of confidential.
Yeah, it's all confidential.
The information is just shared between you, the beekeeper,
right,
and then the Department of Ag is going to generate I won't want to say a generic report, but it's going to be without any names or specific locations, but saying that these were found in these areas.
Yeah, and it's about a $300 value to the beekeeper, all for free.
There we go. Well, Noe, thank you for joining us. Lauren, thank you for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio, Out of the Box. Go ahead.
I have one more thing to mention. If there are any more beekeepers, we have a honey challenge coming up, a state honey challenge. And if anyone is interested in submitting their honeys, we will be here to collect them and bring them back to Big Island. There's a honey festival September 26th at Nanaimau Gardens in Hilo, Hawaii on Big Island. So please come by and drop your honeys off.
There you go. Drop your honeys off and be sweet. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. Really appreciate your time and the effort. I'm going to look forward to talking story with you guys some more. We're almost wrapping up this Out of the Box program. Felicia's got an announcement, but before we go there, I'm going to let folks know that next weekend on the 22nd, Saturday, in celebration of the National Honeybee Day, the Kauai Community College Apiary Program and the Kauai Beekeepers Association will be hosting an open house in the KCC Apiary Lab. We'll be having a KCC Apiary and Farm Tour at 11:30, honey tasting and candle making from 12 to 1:30, and then also meet some local beekeepers and then be able to learn how to get started, find out about upcoming classes at Kauai Community College Apiary Program. So that's coming up next weekend, 8/22. That's next Saturday, as a part of the National Honeybee Day. So Felicia's going to share an announcement that she's got related to the fair, I think it is. It's a placard. And then we're swapping out, moving on to the next section of our program. There we go. Dove has given us the thumbs up. We've got some time to continue to goat rope our fair goers. And then now we're going to do a county council with John Gordon to report. Take a quick little top of the hour break and be back.
Hello, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of August 10th. There will be a council committee meeting Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights in the agenda. The Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Committee Chair Kagawa for the county engineer to provide a briefing on the Hardy Street improvements, status of projected construction and completion, including an update on the impact on traffic surrounding the LCH Wilcox Elementary School during drop-off and afternoon pickup time. Committee Chair Kagawa also requests the county engineer provide an update on concerns related to the operations at the Kakaa landfill. The Budget and Finance Committee has a request from Councilmember Hoosier for Department of Water personnel to provide a briefing on their capital improvement projects to include the following: name and description of each project, including the geographic area to be served by this project, whether or not the project is included in the County of Kauai's bond issuances, timetable for the project, and the estimated cost of the project, including funding source, bond issues, and so forth, and the amounts that have been expended or encumbered. The Committee of the Whole has a request from Council Chair Raposo for the Managing Director and the Office of the County Auditor to discuss the audit of fuel costs, consumptions, and management. That's Report 12-01, prepared by the Office of the County Auditor in April 2012, and to respond to the various findings and recommendations cited in the audit. And this was deferred from July 22nd, 2015. Council Chair Raposo also requests agenda time to discuss the process and details that would be included in a comprehensive noise ordinance. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Till next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News, and I hope Hilda doesn't visit us this week. Much aloha.
You're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea at 6:01. We're broadcasting live from the county fair. Hey guys.
Hi.
Kauai mini golf in Kilauea.
We've never done this before. This is amazing.
We just had the county council report. That was for yesterday, and it was really spirited and interesting and very good. But what you just heard, that happened already. So
the agenda was a little late.
It's community radio, and we're here at the fair.
And I was trying to see if Mel Raposo was going to have a table here at the booth. That's one of the things that is enjoyable about the fair, is that you'll see a lot of our elected officials.
Mm-hmm. Mason Chalk is here. The Democrat Party booth has got a number of them over there.
Maybe we can pull Janice Bond over here to talk story a little bit about local politics in the Democratic Party.
I'd like to tell you that this cake is...